I am very excited today to share a message with all of you that I believe is going to impact a lot of lives. You all look very good despite the fact that you donated some time overnight. Everybody's smiling. That's a good thing. Bishop's on the scene. All is well. It's a wonderful thing. Yeah. Amen. We're in episode 2 of a month-long message series about sharing our life, sharing our faith, called neighboring. Now, where did that term come from? We talked a little bit about this last week. The great command is to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and, so circle, underline, highlight, and love our neighbor as ourselves. Today, we're going to look closer and talk about the importance of sharing our life as we look at practically showing God's love and care for others. This is evangelism like Jesus did it. Last week, in episode 1, we talked about sharing your heart. We talked about the compassion of Christ as it works and operates through us, as we, all of us, corporately and individually, develop a deeper passion for the lost, those that are outside or far from God. And Christ-like compassion always moves us from a place where we are today to a place of action. It causes us to do something. Christ-like compassion also costs something. It's sacrifice. It means giving of yourself. In Luke 10 last week, we looked at this very famous story that Jesus told of the Samaritan man who, moved by the compassion of God, stepped into a situation that was an unlikely one, to love and to care for someone that in his surroundings and in his circles wouldn't normally reach out and help, but his compassion moved him. It moved him to act and to do something. And in the end, to help this individual, it also came at a great cost to him personally. It interrupted his flow in his life, and he stepped out. But this parable was actually the response of Christ when he was asked, who is our neighbor? Because all of us in our lives, we don't have a problem with loving certain people. Other people are a little stronger cup of tea, and they're harder to love, right? And so they were trying to get Jesus to hook him on his words. Today, we live in an age of press releases and news reports and getting people to comment on the record, microphones in everybody's face, people tweeting comments, people are quoted as saying this and quoted as saying that, and then sometimes there's a redaction as somebody says something they shouldn't say. And so they were, in Jesus' day, it was a very similar time, apart from the tech. There was no microphones, but they were still trying to get him to trip up. They're trying to get him to say something that he may regret or stump him, ask him a question that he just simply wouldn't know the answer to. And so when asked, who is our neighbor? This was his response, was this story of the Samaritan man. And it was to underscore the importance that God has called us to love our neighbors. And our neighbor is not just the person who physically lives next door to us. So it has less to do with geography and more to do with proximity. It's our fellow man. It's the people that we come in contact with every day. And sharing our heart, showing compassion, sharing our life, giving something of ourselves, is usually, it sometimes can get a little messy. It's not always simple. You can see people post things today on social media, and it's an easy thing to say, yeah, I like that, I'll share that, I'll retweet that, because we agree with it. But it costs us very little. It doesn't interrupt our life. It doesn't interrupt the comfort that we feel. But showing compassion, sharing your heart and your life, it causes us to act, and change happens within us. And so today our focus is sharing our life, and sharing who you are requires that you're vulnerable, that you're sincere, that you give a piece of yourself. We've been enjoying some sunshine here in the West Coast, which is awesome, as things hopefully start to melt away a little bit. Last weekend, on a Saturday, I was downstairs studying, reading a book, and I took a break to come up and say hello to Susan, and I couldn't find her anywhere, and I looked at the back patio door, and she was outside, enjoying her coffee in the sunshine, taking in some vitamin D when you can, right? But she wasn't alone. She was joined by two tiny little friends who I'd never seen before. And this is not really unusual. There's a lot of kids that with our neighbors that running in and out of each one, you know, everybody's yard, and they're having fun. They're playing out there. And whatever the Lord has blessed my wife with, she's like the Pied Piper when it comes to children. We can go to a restaurant on a date night and be sitting at our table, and the next thing you know, there's like little children walking over the table just looking at us. I'm like, hello, right? They don't even know why they're there. They're just drawn to her. She's got that loving preschool vibe within her that God's blessed her with. And so sitting next to her was the cutest little guy I've ever seen. He was 3 years old. He had big, bright blue glasses on. He looked like a cartoon character. He was so cute. And the chair that he was sitting in was the same as the one Susan was sitting in, but next to her, just looked massive because he was so tiny. His little feet were kind of dangling, not even touching the ground. And so they're there seeming to be engaged in a very intense conversation. And then his friend, who was only 2 years older, and this young guy's dad was close by in the next yard. And so the three of them were there talking back and forth to one another. So I thought, I'm going to go introduce myself. So I opened the door, and they kind of, you know, stepped back a little bit. And I said, hello, everybody. And they said, hello. What's your name? I said, I'm Steve. What's your name? And they told me their name. And I was wearing a Mr. Incredible t-shirt on that day. And they said, oh, The Incredibles. I saw that movie like 6 times. I said, yeah, I saw that movie many times as well. Did you like it? Oh, yeah, I really liked it. I like your t-shirt. I said, thank you. And then we talked about the snow, and it was melting. We talked about, what's your favorite color flower? And so I said, oh, I like the yellow ones. They're nice and bright. Yeah, me too. I like that too. So we talked about all different types of things. And so later on, Susan said, just before you came out, the conversation was focused on being a neighbor and what that meant, which was interesting because that's what we're in the middle of today. And so the little 5-year-old boy, he pipes up and he says to Susan, he says, you know, very wisely, obviously by observation, you know, some people are neighbors and some people are friends. It's very true, right? And so how do we, in the world we live in, move from just coexisting with the world that we're in to a place of meaningful connection and relationship with other people? How do we move from just being neighbors to being friends? Well, I think it all starts with sharing your life a little bit. Now, the formula for meaningful relationships with our fellow man is really not rocket science. To move from just being a neighbor to being a friend starts by simply being friendly, right? Making an effort, establishing some level of trust. And these two tiny little guys were leading the way, 3 years old and 5 years old, demonstrating to all of us that sometimes the most meaningful connections we can make with the world around us start with a smile and an introduction. You know, these two guys were busy playing hide-and-go-seek and doing what they do in the backyard, and then they slowed down long enough to say hello and introduce themselves. Sometimes we miss the simplicity of what it's like to connect with people, but these young men were showing us the Christ-like way to evangelize, to connect with people. It starts with a simple smile and a hello. But are we willing to slow down long enough to do those things? Are we willing to engage? Have we become so busy and so wound up in our own world that we're missing the countless opportunities that God has put in our lives to neighbor, to connect with the people that are around us? So I think to share the gospel, to communicate the truth of what we believe has changed our life. Before you can ever do that, you need to do something that's very important. You need to share who you are. Jesus had this incredible way of connecting with people on just ordinary levels, asking for a drink of water, connecting with what was going on in the day, showing his own humanity, but also opening a door to show his power. You and I can't demand an audience with the message that we have, but we can find common ground with the people around us and establish trust so that we can share the news that has made all the difference in the world to us. The truth is, God wants to love the world through you. He wants to use you to do it. Romans 10:14 really frames it well. It says, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? Makes sense, right? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard of him? Again, total sense. And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? That someone could and should be you. As a church here at Calvary, we're very passionate about evangelism, about people coming to know Christ, about the lost being found, about the outsider becoming a part of our family. And Scripture shows us in Luke 19:10 that the heart of God and the reason why he put all of this in motion in the first place was what the Bible says, to seek and to save the lost. That's what it's all about. Now, that same scripture also teaches us to be more like Jesus every day, that we're to use his life as an example for each of us. And really, this whole series about neighboring is a closer look at how Jesus did it, how he lived his life. And this means having the same heart as Christ for the outsider. So how can we share our heart? How can we share our lives with those around us and do what Jesus did and be effective at it? I think the first thing that we need to do is to stay hungry. Stay hungry in our understanding of God's heart for our neighbors. We need to stop seeing evangelism as some sort of burden or task that we're obligated to. Yes, it is a command that Jesus gave to us, but it's also this high honor and deep privilege that we have of sharing with other people the greatest gift that we have ever received. God wants to use you to be that someone that makes an eternal difference in a whole bunch of other someones, right? That eternal difference has changed who you are. Why not share that same truth with others that you live with and work with and see in the SkyTrain or see at school? You see, when you lived Christ-centered, sharing your life is actually sharing his. Colossians 4:3-6 says, and pray for us too. This is Paul as he writes from prison. That God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. He's talking about the good news, for which I am here in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way that you act or the way that you live towards outsiders or towards your neighbors. Make the most of every opportunity. In other words, as you live and share your life, the Bible says in verse 6, it says, let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. We're called to be an influence in the world, to change the taste. God has an intense emotion, a deep love for those that are far away from him. So in every social situation that we find ourselves in, we need to be aware of the fact that God wants to use me, wants to use you to share your life, that we can literally be a catalyst to bring about change in someone's life forever. You know, destinies are determined in a moment. God can speak to somebody and everything can change. But God wants to use you to bring about that change or the possibility of it in other people's lives. So make the most, as Paul says, make the most of every opportunity that you've been given and allow our words and our life to be a kingdom influence in this world that we're living in. Jesus Christ laid down his life for you so that he could give his life to you, so that he could live his life through you, right? Through you. God wants to work. Effectively relating the good news to our neighbors usually takes on two basic forms, things that we take for granted every day, the things that you do and say, your walk and your talk. And as you grow in your relationship with Christ, other people should be able to see Christ within you. So Jesus living his life through us, through his church, through you as an individual, is one of the most important ways that he draws other people to himself. Sharing our life is sharing his life. When you go through struggles, when you face impossibilities, you have an incredible witness in the way that you navigate those things as you trust the Lord. People see how you approach those areas of your life in good times and in tough times. They see who you cling to. Is it your own understanding, your own strength, your own charisma or gifting, or is it your unyielding faith in his ability to do what no one else can do? Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. You remember way back in elementary school when they'd have show and tell day, right? That was the day that you could bring your favorite toy as a kid and you could stand up in front of the class and say, this is my Bionic Man. That's what I brought. I had a Bionic Man figurine, not a doll, all right? Let's just get that clear. It was a figurine. It was a very manly Bionic Man, Steve Austin Bionic Man, half man, half technology, right? We can rebuild him. He can run faster. He can jump higher. He can see further. I could look into the back of my Steve Austin figurine and see right through his head, like you were looking out through his eye. Some of you remember this, right? I wish I could. I still hope that when I open a box in my garage, I wish I could find that doll again. Figurine again, right? So I'm looking at the back of Steve Austin's head, and it's like a magnifying glass. So you could see using his sight. And then you could pull back his skin. I know it sounds a little morbid, right? But you peel back the little vinyl skin or whatever on his arm. And then you could take out little modules, little computer chips on his arm. So, man, I'd stand up in front of the class, and I'd show them my Bionic Man. I'd peel back his skin. I'd look through the hole in his head. And then I'd pass it around to the class. You and I, God wants to use as his show and tell. He wants to show what he's done in your life to a world that is in desperate need of hope, the hope that gets you up every day. He wants to show you off as a trophy of grace. And then he wants you to tell the world what he's done, that this has nothing to do with me but my obedience to follow him and say yes to him. We're called to demonstrate to the world his goodness and then to speak of his power. We're called to show and tell the world what it is that he wants to do within us. You know, when Jesus was asked, what are the greatest commandments? They were basically asking Christ to summarize the entire Bible in a sentence or two. And I think they were half expecting him to say, well, that's impossible. Like, it's too complex. But that wasn't the response. As a matter of fact, he said, actually, I could do that. So he said, love God with all your heart, and love your neighbor as yourself. You see, those two are interchangeable relationships. You can't really love God effectively without loving people. And you can't love people effectively without loving God, right? It's difficult to love the unlovable or the challenging or those that are even your enemies. But with the love of God working through you, everything is switched up. Now, there's a very important and effective scripture that talks about who we're called to reach. Simple, but to the point. Mark 16:15 says, and then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to who? To everyone. Go and share your life with everyone. Now, whether you're a committed follower of Christ or maybe you're a brand new believer that just said yes only days ago, this command for Christ shouldn't be something that we fear, but something that we embrace. A true evangelist is really someone just like you and me who is caring, who's kind, who's patient, who's inviting, someone who shares their life with one person at a time. When I look back at my life and I look at the people who had the greatest impact on me when it comes to my faith, they were ordinary people who slowed down in their lives to connect with me, to learn my name, to smile, to spend time with me, people that I felt believed in me, people that I established relationship and trust with. You know, it wasn't their words that rings true in my mind when I first met them. It wasn't that they started rhyming off scripture. It was that they shared their life first. The most effective evangelist is not necessarily the guy you see on television, or even the misconceptions that we have about what evangelism looks like. It's the people who allow God to live through them so that when we share our lives, we're sharing his life. Acts 1:8 says, "You will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." We are called to be witnesses of the good news, not prosecutors or defenders of the gospel. Jesus is saying, go and be a witness. Share your side of the story. Tell people, hey, listen, I got to tell you what happened to me and the difference that God has made in my life. You know, people lean in a little bit when you start talking like that. Because when you passionately believe what it is you're saying, when you tell your story, it's difficult to argue that because it's your experience. And you'll find that your neighbors are actually more interested than you think they are. This is your destiny. This is the thing God has called each of us to do when it comes to what our ministry is here on earth. If you're a follower of Christ, you're a fisher of men. Meaning, we're not out there, obviously, with rod and reel pulling in fish over the boat. Some of you may be. But God has called you and I to be fishers of men, to tell and share and show the love of God so that we can see people come to know him. But in our pursuit of learning the truth, may we not forget to live it. Sometimes people struggle. Some believers get annoyed by the simple truth that they need to walk out because they're always wanting to go deeper. I just need something deeper. And deeper is fine. To be a student of the word is a wonderful thing. But in order to reach the world, we need to take the simple truth of God's love to the world that needs it. You want deep? I tell you what, the people that are drowning in their problems don't need to know the Greek word for life preserver. They just need you to throw them one, right? As they're going down, they need hope. They need something and someone to take a hold of that they can give them life. That's deep. That's as deep as you need to share your faith with a world that needs it. And then, as you come to know Christ and are a student of the word, you can go deeper. But all of that knowledge does you little to no good if you don't act upon it. 2 Timothy 4, 2-5 says, preach the word of God. That's not just a scripture for the preachers out there. It's a word for all of us. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Sometimes we're looking for the perfect moment. Man, I can't get into this with this person who needs my help. It's my vacation right now. It's not favorable, this time. It's not convenient. I'm busy. I'm tired. I'm blah, blah, blah. God is saying, listen, you need to be willing to be interrupted so that you can share the truth. Because someone's life is in the balance. Work at telling others, the Bible says, the good news and fully carry out the ministry that God has given you. What is the ministry that God's given you? Sometimes we're all looking for a handle or a title, but here it is. God has gone out of his way to put certain people around you, and he wants you to influence them with the gospel. He wants you to share your life. Let me give you four simple things that will help you to effectively share his life through your life. Number one, become aware. I want you to become aware of a couple of things today. The first is that this, again, is your ministry. It's what he's called you to. There's no plan B. There's no other option here. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, so we are Christ's ambassadors, and God is making his appeal. He's sharing his life through us. He's chosen you. He's chosen me. Now, the second thing I want you to be aware of is how this process works and how you and I can be a part of it. You see, when we share our lives, when we tell people our story, when we talk about Christ to other people, we're basically stepping into someone else's field. You're not always responsible to take them over the line, but your life, your testimony is a part of many other people who have come in contact with this person who God has arranged for all of us to work together. The Bible says it this way in 1 Corinthians 3:6. It says, my work was to plant the seed in your hearts, and Apollo's work was to water it. But it was God, not we, who made the garden grow in your hearts. Your job, my job, is to move people one step closer to God. Not necessarily all the way, but we need to trust in his plan for their lives and know that you have a role to play. And God will use you among many other people to help bring about his purpose in people's lives. Number two, commit to prayer. You know, when you commit to pray for someone, you're letting them know that you're in their corner. When they're struggling and they've been hit and they're on the mat and their teeth and their mouth is cut and they're bleeding and they feel like, I can't do this anymore. I can't go on. They need to be able to look around and hear a voice and see a face to say, get up, man. You can do this. You can do, I'm in your corner. You can do this. Get up. You see, when that happens, something else happens. God brings a strength from within that has nothing to do with your exhaustion or your damage. It has everything to do with his power being perfected in your weakest moment. Get up! You can do this. Do not quit. The best is still ahead of you. We all need people like that in our lives, don't we? Now, when you pray for people, people say, why do I pray? I don't know. I don't know how to pray for people. My recommendation to you would be to pray the Word of God into their lives. And there's so many scriptures. I'm going to give you a few. I'm not going to be able to read them all this morning, but I'm going to give them to you so that you can dig deeper. They're in your notes. They're on the app if you want them. But the first thing you need to do is really pray that God the Father would draw them to Jesus. We see that in John 6:44. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, we see this encouragement to pray against the spirit that blinds their eyes. Pray that their eyes would be open to see and hear the truth. In Romans 8:15, pray that they would come to know God relationally, not just religion, not just having a contact with a way of doing something, but relationally have a connection. Pray that believers will cross their paths and enter into these great positive relationships. Matthew 9:38. In Ephesians 1:17, we see the challenge for us to pray for a revelation in their lives of who Jesus really is and what he's really done for them. It's not just this historical figure like Chris Columbus. This is an active story that's still alive and at work today. Pray the Word of God right into their lives. Number three, show you care. We've said this many times before, but it's just as true today as it was the first time anybody ever said it. People don't really care what you know. They want to know that you care. That's true. They need sincerity. They need to know that you care. 1 Corinthians 9:19-23 says, though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. I have become all things to all men so that that by all possible means that I might save some. So in other words, we're going to do whatever it takes to win the lost. I do all of this for the sake of the gospel that I may share in its blessings. You and I have a call to share with people the reality of that care and what it looks like and how real it is. And then finally, number four, be ready to share. Share your heart, share your life, share your church. We're going to be talking about that in the weeks to come. You don't need to have the answers to every single question that they have, but share with them what you do have. Share your life. Share what he has done within you. That is going to make a world of difference in someone's life. It certainly has for me. And I think many of you would probably say the same thing when it comes to the people who have loved you and shared their life with you. And when we share what we have, I believe, and I don't just say this as a bumper sticker, but we can change the world that we're living in when we share our lives and our heart one person at a time. 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be prepared or be ready to share. Always be ready to share. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Why are you smiling all the time? Every time I see you, you're smiling. You know, it's almost annoying you smile so much. But you're either taking part in some medicine or you got something. Something's going on inside you that even when you're getting beat up, even when you've had a rough time, even when you're facing the greatest challenge of your life, why is there still a glimmer in your eyes? Why is there still hope in your words? You have the opportunity when people say, what's with that? To answer them. Let me tell you exactly what that is. That's Jesus. That's a relationship I have with God that's not a religious commitment. It's a relational devotion. And it has made the difference in my life. And then the Bible ends that verse in 1 Peter 3:15. It says, but do all of this with gentleness and respect. Don't kick down their door, blast in there. This is the truth. This is what, blah, 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 blah. Those are not the people that had the greatest impact in my life. They did it with gentleness and respect. They loved me right into this kingdom of God that I once knew nothing about, that I was once an outsider. And now I'm apprehended with the truth that I'm committed to tell for the rest of my days. That every breath I have will be to help lead people that are outsiders just like I was to have a seat at the table. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the compassion that you have for our lives, that we in turn can show and have for others. Help us to allow our compassion to move us to a place of action and sacrifice. And then I pray, God, that we would live our lives in such a way that you would live yours through it. That in living our life, that we would be expressing yours. Help us to share our heart. Help us to share our life, to give a piece of us to people that need it. Use our church, use our relationships to make a difference, to move from a place of just neighboring from a geographical sense to a place of meaningful relationship and friendship. Help us to slow down in our busy lives and to show the love of God to those that are crying out for it. Help us to be aware that there are destinies in the balance that can be changed in a moment if we will be aware of the neighboring opportunities that you place in our life. This week, I pray that each of us would be more aware than ever before of the people around us, that we would slow down, that we would smile, that we would introduce ourselves, that we would engage in conversation to see if it could be an open door to move people one step closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray.